I often say this, but I don't know what everybody here is going through. I don't know what they've gone through this week. I don't know what they're going to go through in the next week. But Father, I know that your word can help them. And I pray that you'd help everybody to be attentive. Lord, help us to have spiritual ears, to be able to hear your spirit speak to us. And Father, I pray you'd help me to just step out of the way. Let your spirit do his work. And Lord, help me to say the things you would have me to say this morning. In your precious name I pray. Amen. All right, well, we're there in Matthew chapter number 19. We read the entire chapter like our custom is, but I'd like you to actually look at chapter number 20, and we're going to read a few verses there as well. If you look at Matthew chapter number 20 and look at verse number 1, the Bible says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour, and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, Why stand ye here all the day idle? They say unto him, Because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his stewards, Call the laborers, and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. And when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, These last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is, and go thy way. I will give unto this last even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last, for many be called, but few chosen." Now, I wanted to preach this morning on the subject of this parable that we find in Matthew chapter number 20. When I was a child or just a young person, you know, as I read through the Bible, I'd often read this parable and I'd always be confused by it because I kind of agreed with the workers. I thought, you know, that doesn't seem very fair. But for you to understand what the parable that's happening in Matthew chapter number 20, you really, and the reason we read chapter 19 is because you must understand what is going on in chapter number 19 that prompted the Lord Jesus Christ to give this parable in chapter number 20. If you look at chapter number 19, if you look at the last verse in chapter 19, it says, "But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first." If you look at the first verse in verse 20, it says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder." If you look at verse number 16, the end of the parable, he says, "So the last shall be first, and the first, for many be called, but few are chosen." What you got to understand is that Jesus was prompted, and he gave this parable because of the events that happened in chapter number 19. He begins to give this parable in chapter 20 because of what happened in chapter number 19. So you really must understand what took place in chapter 19 to be able to understand what the parable is about and what it is that Jesus is trying to illustrate or trying to make you see. Now, if you look at verse 16, we find the beginning of the story here when this young man, a very famous story, often referred to as the rich young ruler, he comes to Jesus Christ. If you look at verse number 16, the Bible says, "And behold, one came and said, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" Now, in other passages, this story is also found in the book of Mark, chapter number 10, and in Luke, chapter number 18. We find the same story, the same account, and we might go to those, we might not. But he's referred to as the rich young ruler. He's a young man, he's very wealthy, and he's a ruler in his time. And he comes to Jesus, and I want you to take notice of a few things. He addresses the Lord Jesus Christ as good master. He says, he calls him a good master, and he asks this question. He said, "What good thing shall I do that I may inherit, that I may have eternal life?" So he's asking Jesus a very specific question. He says, "What do I have to do to get eternal life?" He's asking about salvation. He's asking about spending eternity in heaven with God, and he's saying, "What do I need to do, Jesus, good master?" Now look at verse number 17. Jesus responds to him, and really to understand the way Jesus is speaking to this young man, you got to understand, Jesus is more responding to this young man based on the young man's attitude, not necessarily what he said. But look at verse number 17. And he, referring to Jesus, said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments." Now, I want you to notice there, Jesus says to this young man, he says, "Why callest thou me good?" Now, here's what you got to understand. Jesus, obviously, is God. We've preached a lot about that. We've proven that from the Bible. If you don't agree with that, I can show you multiple verses in the Bible proving the fact that Jesus is God in the flesh. And Jesus understands what this young man... This young man comes to Jesus, and he's looking at Jesus as a maybe a good prophet, as a good teacher, but he's not coming to him with the reverence of saying, "This is God in the flesh." And when he says to him, "Good master," Jesus says to him, "Why are you calling me good?" He says, "There's only one good person, and that's God." He says, "So either I am God because I'm good, or I'm not God." You know, make up your mind. He's calling him out on the fact that he doesn't necessarily believe that Jesus is God. And we'll look at that more in a little bit. But I want you to see the answer that Jesus gave him. Because remember, the young man asked a very specific question. "What should I do to have eternal life?" And Jesus says to him, "Keep the commandments." He says, "I want you, if you're looking for what you must do to be able to have eternal life, here's what you need to do. You need to keep the commandments." Now, it may seem, and oftentimes people will take this passage and try to prove what's called works salvation. And I'll talk a little bit more about works salvation if you don't understand the terminology. But people will try to teach that there are things we must do. There are actions that we must take in order to be able to have eternal life. But Jesus is not teaching that at all, and that will become clear as we go through the passage. But he answers this question correctly. Any person who does keep all the commandments can have eternal life. Here's the only problem. Go with me, keep your finger there in Matthew chapter number 19, and go with me to the book of Romans. Romans chapter number 3. You're there in Matthew, you go to Mark, Luke, John, Acts, and then you have the book of Romans. Romans chapter number 3, and I'd like you to look at verse number 10. Romans chapter number 3, and I'd like you to look at verse number 10. We're going to be looking at a lot of Bible this morning, and if you've been in any of our services before, you know at Verity Baptist Church, we like to look at a lot of Bible, like to prove everything from the Bible. Look at Romans chapter number 3, and look at verse number 10. The Bible says in Romans 3:10, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." That word righteous there means to be without error, to be pure, to be perfect. Then the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." Look at verse 11. Notice what the Bible says. "There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." You see that? Jesus said, "There is none that doeth good." So when this young man comes to Jesus, and he's coming to him with an attitude of, "Oh, he's just a man," and he calls him good, do you understand why Jesus says to him, "Wait a minute, there's only one good, and that's God"? Because the Bible is very clear, there is none good. Now, you may say, "Well, I think I'm a pretty good person." Well, here's what you got to understand. No one's a good person. There is none righteous. You may be a good person comparing yourself to someone in prison. You may be a good person comparing yourself to a gangbanger or a rape or something like that. But when we compare ourselves to the Word of God and we compare ourselves to God, none of us come up to that stature because we're all found lacking. There is none good. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Drop down to verse number 23 in the same chapter, Romans chapter number 3. Look at verse number 23. The Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." See, you say, "Well, I'm a pretty good person." And this is what this young man, this is what you got to understand. This young man was coming to Jesus and he was thinking in himself that he was a pretty good person. He was thinking in himself that he lived a pretty good life. And he was thinking to himself that he had done pretty well. And he's just wondering, is there one more thing that I must do? Is there another good deed that I must have in order to be able to attain to eternal life? But the Bible says, "For all have sinned." We've all sinned. We've all broken God's law. We've all sinned against God. And the Bible says we all come short of the glory of God. Right. Go with me to the book of James. Let me show you another passage. James chapter number 2. Towards the end of your New Testament, you'll find the book of James. James chapter number 2. If you can find the book of Hebrews is kind of a larger book towards the end of the New Testament. Right after the book of Hebrews, you have the book of James. James chapter number 2, and look at verse number 10. James chapter number 2, and look at verse number 10. The Bible says in James 2:10, it says, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend at one point, he is guilty of all." You see that? So, because we often will compare ourselves and say, "Well, I've never killed anybody. I've never committed adultery. I've never robbed a bank. I've never done..." Well, have you ever told a lie? Because the Bible says, "If whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all." So see, before God, we're all sinners. For before God, we've all, you know, trespassed against the sin. We're all guilty before God. Go with me to Matthew chapter number 19. You can go back to Matthew. And you got to understand, when Jesus, he answers the young man's question, he says, if you want eternal life and you want to know what to do, here's what you must do. You must keep the commandments. But here's the problem that the young man doesn't understand. No one can keep the commandments. No one can keep the whole law. None of us is able to keep the entire law. None of us is able to go our entire life without sin. You say, "Well, I've never done anything really that bad." Have you done anything sin? Have you performed any sin? Have you ever told a lie? Because if you break the law just in one point, the Bible says you're guilty of the whole thing. And that's what this young man needs to understand. Look at verse number 18. Well, the last part of verse 17, Jesus says to him, "Keep the commandments." He says, "If thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments." Verse 18, he saith unto him, "Which?" So he says, "Well, which commandment?" Jesus said, "Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." The young man saith unto him, "All these things have I kept from my youth up. What like I yet?" Are you trying to see the young man's attitude? Famous. "I got all that covered. I've done this since I was a kid." He says, "What lack I yet?" Now, I want you to take notice of a few things. Go with me to the book of Exodus in your Old Testament. Exodus, second book in the Bible. Exodus chapter number 20. Exodus chapter number 20 is where we find the giving of the law, the giving of the Ten Commandments. I'd like you to see a few things about the commandments that Jesus listed off for him. If you're familiar with the Ten Commandments, you can see them there in Exodus chapter number 20. We'll look at them briefly. If you look at verse number 3, Exodus chapter number 20 and verse 3, the first commandment says, "Thou shalt have no other God before me." Verse 4 says, Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images." Drop down to verse number 7. It says, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain." Look at the beginning of verse 8. "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." Look at verse 5. "Honor thy father and thy mother." I'm sorry, look at verse 12. This is the fifth commandment. "Honor thy father and thy mother." Look at verse 13. "Thou shalt not kill." Look at verse 14. "Thou shalt not commit adultery." Look at verse 15. "Thou shalt not steal." 16. "Thou shalt not bear false witness." That's saying, you know, you shouldn't tell a lie. Look at verse 17. "Thou shalt not covet." Now, I want you to notice a few things about the Ten Commandments, okay? The first five commandments deal with our relationship with God. Did you notice that? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And honor thy father and thy mother. That commandment deals with God because God is our Heavenly Father. So I want you to notice something about the Ten Commandments. The first five of the Ten Commandments deal with our relationship with God. The last five commandments, and the fifth one as well, deal with our relationship with other people. Honor thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. Do you see that? First five deal with God. Don't take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Don't make a graven image. You know, keep the Sabbath day. Remember the Sabbath day. Honor thy father. But the last five deal with our relationship with people. Don't commit adultery. Don't kill. Don't bear false witness. Don't covet. Now, if you go back to Matthew chapter 19, I want you to notice that when Jesus, because remember the young man asked, "Well, which ones of the commandments are the ones that I need to keep?" Jesus listed for him the commandments that deal with people. If you look at verse 18, he said unto them, "Which?" Jesus said, "Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." I want you to understand, you know, when Jesus is speaking to this person, Jesus obviously is God. He understands how this person thinks. He understands his heart. He's able to see into his heart. So Jesus is really trying to help this young man, and he's almost setting him up in this conversation to help him realize something. And he gives him these commandments that have to deal with how we deal with people. He gives him these commandments that he knows this young man has victory over. He knows this young man would say, you know, all these have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? But look at verse 21. Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect. Now, let me ask you this. Can any of us be perfect? No. He's obviously almost being sarcastic, because this young man's coming with that thing. I don't have any issues. I don't have any sin. And Jesus says, okay, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, that thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Now, look, I've been to many churches where pastors will get up and read this passage and say, see, you gotta sell everything you got, and you gotta give the money to church. Is that what Jesus is teaching here? Absolutely not. The Bible says that the love of money is the root of all evil. The Bible says, you know, the Bible says that God paves the roads in heaven with gold. You know what that means? That means that the last thing on his mind, the least thing of importance to him, is money. The Bible says he owns the cattle on a thousand hills. He could care less about money. Jesus is not, you know, just kind of a little bit, you know, he can't make rent here, so he's hoping this guy, you know, well, sell everything you got and maybe you can help us out. That's not what he's doing. What Jesus is doing is he's putting his finger on this man's sin. He's trying to get this young, rich young ruler to understand, you're not as perfect, you're not as good as you think you are. He says, sell all that thou hast and give to the poor, that thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Now, I just want you to see this. Go with me to Matthew. Keep your finger there in Matthew 19. But go with me to Matthew chapter number 22. And look at verse number 36. Matthew chapter number 22, look at verse number 36. Since we're talking about commandments, look at Matthew chapter number 22 and verse 36. This is another story where somebody came to Jesus tempting him. Actually, look at verse 35. The Bible says, then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? So he's asking him, what's the greatest commandment? Look at Jesus' answer. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. See, Jesus said, here are the greatest commandments. Love the Lord thy God with all thy, you know, what did he say there? With all thy mind, with all thy soul, with all thy heart. And here's why. If you love the Lord thy God with everything, with your whole being, with your body, your soul, your mind, your heart, you think you're going to worship an idol? You think you're going to have trouble remembering, you know, to keep the Lord's day? You think, you know, you're going to follow all those commandments if you just love the Lord thy God. And if you love your neighbor as yourself, you won't have any problem. Look, if you love your neighbor as yourself, you're not going to rob your neighbor. You're not going to commit adultery with your neighbor's wife. You're not going to, and that's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, these are the greatest commandments. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and love your neighbor as yourself. He says, these are the two, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Now go with me to Matthew chapter number 19. What Jesus is trying to explain to this young man, and I understand this morning's sermon is a little more maybe teachy than normal, but I want you to understand this. What Jesus is trying to teach this young man is that, yes, you may be a good neighbor. Yes, you may have honored your father and your mother, and you may have done all these things from your youth, but you've got one problem, young man, and it's this. You don't love the Lord thy God with all your heart. And he says, here's why. Because when I ask you to give your money, notice, let's read verse 19. Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. And look at verse 22. Look at his response. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. See, he's a very rich man. And there was one issue in his life. There was one problem in his life. He loved his money more than he loved God. And when Jesus said, okay, you think you're perfect? Okay, you think you're good? Okay, you think you're without sin? Give up all your money and follow me. And he says, I can't do that. But see, what Jesus is trying to explain to him is, there is sin in your life. There are commandments you have broken. There is. And here's what this young man has to understand. And here's what we all must understand. When someone comes, the problem with the rich young ruler, and the reason he didn't get saved, I don't know if you noticed, the Bible says the young man went away sorrowful. He never got saved. He never accepted Jesus Christ. And here's the problem. No one will ever get saved if they have the attitude that they are not in need of a Savior. In order to need a Savior, to accept the Savior, Jesus Christ, you've got to understand, I need saving. I need a Savior. If you think that you're good enough to get yourself to heaven, if you think that you're good enough to live a good life and you've never done anything that bad and you don't deserve to go to hell, you're never going to need a Savior. Because you don't understand that the reason there is a Savior is because somebody needs to be saved. The reason you need to be saved is because you're in trouble. And this young man didn't understand that. He wanted more a pat on the back than to really understand how to get salvation. The problem with the rich young ruler is that he didn't understand he needed Jesus. We won't take the time to look at it, but if you look at the same passage in the book of Mark, chapter number 20, the Bible says Jesus, beholding him, loved him. Jesus loved him. When Jesus saw this young man, his heart broke for him. Because Jesus understood, I can save you. I will die on the cross for your sins. I will pay the penalty of your sin. But you must understand, you need a Savior. Look at verse number 22. But the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for the rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? Now, it's interesting. Actually, Brother Daryl and I were out sowing yesterday, and we were kind of talking about this. You know, the Bible says it's hard for a rich person to get saved. You know, Brother Daryl and I were talking about it. He was asking me, you know, about when we go out door knocking and we're inviting people to church and trying to preach the gospel to them. You know, and oftentimes it seems like you get better reception in the lower income neighborhoods. You know, you go to nicer neighborhoods and a lot of times people are meaner, rude, slam the door in your face, don't want to hear it, don't even want to be polite. You say, well, why is that? Well, I think it's the same reason here. You know, a lot of times when we start getting money, we start thinking we're not in need of anything. We're not in need of God. You know, people think, and obviously that's not by and large, I'm not saying 100%, but a lot of times you go to the ghetto, and people are just, want to talk to you. They want to hear about Jesus. They want to be, there's a humbleness there, and that's what Jesus is talking about. He said, in verse 23, he said, then said Jesus unto his disciples, verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. I mean, that's what Jesus said. He said, a rich man shall hardly enter the kingdom of heaven. And again, I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. I was joking, Brother Daryl. Now, the problem is when you go to the ghetto, you know, you go at 10 a.m. everybody's still sleeping. I'm sure, you know, everybody's asleep till noon. But, you know, I'm just kidding. So you got to balance that out. You know, that's why we go to all. Look at verse 25. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Isn't that a great verse there? With God all things are possible. You say, well, you know, it's impossible. You know, he's literally saying, it's easier to get a camel, think of what a camel, the size of a camel, through the eye of a needle than to get a rich person saved. And they said, well, man, who can be saved? He said, look, just because it's impossible with you doesn't mean it's impossible with God. He says, with men this is impossible. With God, all things are possible. You know, oftentimes people talk to me and they say, you really think you can build a church by holding service in your house? Well, look, with men, it may be impossible. But with God, all things are possible. You know, so I'm not really that worried about it. Because I do believe, when I came to Jesus, I do believe Jesus is God. I do believe Jesus is God in the flesh. I don't believe that He has any limits. I do believe He can add to this church and He can grow this church. At His timing and His pace, He chooses to, I believe God can do anything. Do you? Look at verse number 27. And you got to understand. His disciples just watched this whole interaction. His disciples were an audience to this conversation, this dialogue between the rich young ruler and Jesus Christ. His disciples just watched a very wealthy man walk away from the Lord Jesus Christ because he was not willing to give up everything he had. And Peter, I love Peter, he starts thinking. You know, that little mouse or a little hamster in his head starts running in that, you know, whatever that wheel is up there. And in verse 27, the Bible says, "Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and follow thee. What shall we have therefore?" Because he's thinking to himself, because remember, Jesus said to him, if you sell everything you have, you'll have treasure in heaven. And Jesus, and Peter's thinking to himself, well, you know, he wasn't willing to do it, but I've done it. Because you remember when Peter got called into the ministry, he was a very successful fisherman. Him and the disciples, a lot of them were fishermen, and a lot of them had their own businesses. And Jesus said, follow me, and they left. The Bible says, they straightway left their nets, and they left their businesses, they left their houses, and they left their families, and they followed Jesus. And Peter's thinking, well, wait a minute, I've left everything. And he says, you know, then answered Peter and said unto them, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? He says, what am I going to get? Because I have forsaken all. I'm not like the rich and ruler. I did leave my business and my home and my family. What are you going to give me, Jesus? Look at verse 28. Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit up on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive an hundredfold, and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. You know what Jesus is trying to say here? He's trying to tell this Peter. Peter, I'm a good employer. I'm gonna take care of you, Peter. He said, Peter, no one that's forsaken anything, no one that's left anything. He said, I'm gonna give you 100-fold of whatever you've left. You know what 100-fold is? That's 100 times. Whatever you sacrifice, I'm going to give you 100 times whatever you got. Not on earth, but in heaven. I mean, try finding a mutual fund that'll give you 100-fold. Tell me about it. I got some money I can put in there. You know, you're lucky in our economy, you get 7% on a mutual fund, if you're lucky. You know, you put into a money savings account or whatever, you get 2.5%. I don't know what it is. I mean, Jesus is saying, hey, invest in me. You won't be sorry. But you need to understand a few things. And this is what I love about Jesus. If you look at verse 22, and you got to understand, in the Bible, we've added chapters and verses in order to make it simple for us to be able to find the passages and stuff like that. But verse 20, or chapter number 20 in verse 1, is, you know, right next. It's the same story. Okay, so please understand that. You know, we've divided the Bible in order to find there's nothing wrong with that, but, you know, because we didn't want everybody to come to church with a big old scroll and have to look through it. Oh, Matthew, where's that? You know, but the story continues on into chapter 20. And Jesus is now going to teach his disciples something based on what just happened, based on what Peter just asked. And if you look at chapter 20, he says, for the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. Now, Jesus is giving a parable. A parable in the Bible is a story, not a true story. It's a story like that he's giving in order to bring a point. He's using an earthly type illustration to bring home a spiritual application. And he says the kingdom of heaven is like a householder. Now, a householder in those days was a person who was like maybe a rich person had their own business and they were the main boss. So the kingdom of heaven is like unto a householder which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. So notice, this man has a vineyard and he needs some workers. The Bible says he went out early in the morning. Now I want you to understand a few things. In the Jewish calendar or Jewish schedule, the day, at least back in the Bible times, the workday started at 6 a.m. They worked on a 12-hour schedule. And their day started at 6 a.m. So when it says he went out early in the morning, more than likely that was about 6 a.m. our time. And he went out to look for workers. Look at verse 2. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. So he goes out to, you know, in our modern day terminology, maybe went out to a temp agency or something. He went out to a place where there's just men. You know, I've seen this. When I lived in Vancouver, I remember I'd drive by and I'd see just a bunch of guys. Usually they were, you know, Mexicans or whatever. But you see a bunch of guys just sitting there just waiting for someone to come hire them. You know, just waiting for somebody to come by them and say, hey, I got some work for you, you know. And I see that all the time. People would just be sitting there, they'd be talking. Somebody would walk up with a truck and say, hey, I got some work. And they'd jump in the truck and they'd go. That's really what Jesus was doing. You know, what this man was doing. He was just looking for people to come work for him. He goes to these people and he says, the Bible says he agreed with the laborers for a penny a day. So they said, hey, you know, come work with me. I got some work I need to do. They say, okay, how much are you going to pay us? They said a penny. Now you got to understand, a penny in the Bible is not the same as a penny in the United States, okay? This was a good wage. 12 hours worth of work, you know, a payment. And they said, okay. And he sent them into his vineyard. Look at verse number 3. And he went out about the third hour. Now the third hour would be for us 9 a.m. So about 3 hours after. He went about the third hour and he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. And again he went about the sixth hour, that would be about 12 p.m. for us, or noon. And the ninth hour, that would be about 3 p.m. And did likewise. So, and then in verse 6 it says, and about the 11th hour, that would be our time, 5 p.m., he went out and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, why stand ye here all the day idle? So I want you to understand the parable. This man is going, he goes out at 6 a.m., hires, goes into the marketplace, finds some workers, says, hey, come, I got some work. They say, okay, how much are you going to pay us? Okay, I'll pay you a penny for the entire day's worth. They said, okay. They go into the vineyard. He goes about the ninth hour. He goes the sixth hour, the ninth hour, the 11th hour. He's hiring people all throughout the day. Look at verse 7. They say unto him, look at verse 6. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle. And saith unto them, why stand ye all the day idle? They say unto him, because no man hath hired us. He said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when even was come, now morning in the Jewish schedule is 6 a.m., even or evening is 6 p.m., so this is 12 hours later. When even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his stewards, call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. So I really want you to understand what's going on. So he says to his secretary, he says, call the workers, let's go ahead and pay them, and pay them for the day's work that they did. You know, is it kind of warm in here? Is anybody warm? Honey, if you could turn on that air conditioning. Apologize about that. So he says, you know, he gets the secretary, he says, let's pay these guys, and he tells the secretary specifically, I want you to pay them from the order they got here from the last unto the first. He says, so the people that have worked the least to the people that have worked the most. Look at verse 9. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. And they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Do you understand what's going on? He's paying these people. A person got here the 11th hour, 5 p.m. They worked till 6 p.m., 1 hour. And he pays them a penny. So the people in the back, they're thinking, man, that guy got paid a penny for 1 hour's work. We've been working 12 hours. Man, I wonder how much we're going to get paid. And they get to the front of the line, and they get paid 1 penny. You say, well, that's not fair. Well, it is fair. And here's why. Look at verse 2. And when they had agreed with the laborers for a penny. Do you see that? They came to work that day, and he said, hey, I need some workers. And they said, we'll work for you, but we need to know how much you're going to pay. He said, I'll pay you a penny. They said, okay, that's good. They agreed. But when the husbandman, or the householder went out the third hour, the sixth hour, the ninth hour, you know what he said, kept saying to them? Look at verse 4. And he said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard. And look what he says. And whatsoever is right, I will give you. You know what the difference is between those who worked 12 hours and those who worked 9 hours and 6 hours and 1 hour? Here's the difference. The others went into the vineyard not knowing what they were going to get paid. They said, the good man's going to pay us whatever he thinks we're worth. But the first people went into the day knowing what they were going to get paid. Now, you got to understand, at this point, what did Peter just ask Jesus? How much am I going to get paid?
Yes, sir.
You understand what he's saying?
Yes, sir.
Peter said, I've given up everything. I've forsaken all. What am I going to get? And Jesus is trying to explain to Peter, Peter, let me take care of that. Don't agree with me. Don't make a contract with me. I'll pay you. Did Jesus rip them off? Did the man rip them off? He gave them what they agreed for, a penny a day. But those who did not agree with him got way more. And what we must understand, well, you know, let's talk about this parable. There's a few things we can learn from this parable. The first thing you can learn is this. Jesus does not like idle workers. Jesus does not like idle workers. Look at verse 6. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, why stand ye here all the day idle? You know what? Jesus cannot stand, you know, because he's giving this parable, and he's looking at his people, and he's saying, you know, why are you sitting there doing nothing? There's things to do. There's work to be done. There are things that we could do. He says, go ye also into the vineyard. You know what that reminds me of? That go ye, when the householder says to them, go ye into the also into the vineyard. You know what that reminds me of? Let me show you. Go with me to Matthew chapter number 28. Matthew chapter number 28. Look at verse number 19. You tell me if this sounds familiar to you. Matthew chapter number 28. Look at verse number 19. Matthew 28:19. Jesus said to his disciples, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. In this parable, he says, go into the vineyard. Jesus told us to go into the world. You say, well, what does that mean? Well, go with me to Matthew chapter number 9. Matthew chapter number 9. Look at verse number 36. Matthew chapter number 9, look at verse number 36. Matthew chapter number 9 and verse 36, the Bible says this. But when he, talking about Jesus, when he saw the multitude, so Jesus is looking upon a crowd of people, says when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, notice what he says, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Oftentimes in the Bible, Jesus uses the fact that we go out into the world and preach the Bible. Have you ever heard the Bible, you know, the Bible itself will refer to itself as the seed. Jesus will refer to us when we go out into this world and we knock on people's doors and we invite them to church and we preach the gospel to them. Where he illustrates that as saying we're planting a seed. He says some of us will plant that seed and maybe others of us will water that seed and some of us get the opportunity to reap that seed. And he uses this analogy of farming often in the Bible in regards to going out and harvesting souls and bringing people in. And he says there in verse 36, but when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous. Tell me that's not true. Tell me there are not people in this city, in Sacramento, in California, in this nation, in this world that need to hear the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That need, look, you don't believe me? Go with me. Knocking on doors. And you're going to find so often we have this attitude, like the rich young ruler. I promise you, come with me. I knock on people's door. I ask them, do you know for sure if you die today, you go to heaven? And a lot of people, most people's answer is, oh, I think I go to heaven. And I'll ask them, well, how do you know that? And they'll say, well, you know, I live a pretty good life. I've been baptized. I teach Sunday school. I do whatever. You know what they're saying? They're saying like this rich young ruler. I'm a pretty good person. And they are. They are pretty good people. But not compared to God. They're still a sinner. And Jesus has commanded us to go into that vineyard. He's commanded us to go into that workplace. He's commanded us to go out and reap that harvest of people. When Jesus said, the harvest truly is plenty, He wasn't looking at a crop of corn. He was looking at a multitude of people. And His heart broke for those people. And He said, man, the harvest truly is plenty. But you know what problem that Jesus had was this. But the laborers are few. Not enough workers. Not enough people. Not enough workers to bring them in. And when Jesus would walk up in the parable, He walked up to these people. He's just sitting there, watching them, doing nothing. Sitting there all day, doing nothing. He says, why are you standing there idle? He says, get to work. There's a harvest to be brought in. There's work to be done. He says, don't take their harvest. And I got one question for you, Christian. Why are you sitting there idle? Doing nothing. Bringing no one in. Getting no one saved. Preaching the gospel to no one. Why don't you get to work? That's what Jesus would like to know. You say, well, I go to church. Look, here's what you got to understand about church. Church is like the train. Church is where you come to learn the Bible. Church is where you come to hear the Word of God. Church is where you... It's like if you go to work. You know, I recently got out of the Air Force a few months ago. And the Air Force paid for me to go to some HVAC training, schooling, which I'm doing. You know, because I did a little bit of heating and air conditioning in the military. But transferring those skills into civilian world is a little different, so I'm taking a little schooling, and I'm doing that training right now. You know, wouldn't it be a waste for me to just go through 11 months of school, learning all about refrigeration, electricity, all the different things, and then just graduate and then just go on unemployment? You think, well, what a waste! Man, that education was $20,000! We got you all that training, we taught you all things! Get to work! You know, there's people with air conditioning units that are broken and people that can hire you. Why don't you get to work? But you know, it's the same thing with us as Christians. You come to church Sunday morning, you come to church Sunday night, you come to church Wednesday night. We give you the Bible, we give you the preaching, we teach you the stories, we teach you the verses, we get you that information, and you go home and do nothing with it. And I'm just wondering myself, why are we training these people? And they're saying they're idle! Get to work. That's what Jesus said. He said, get to work. He says there's a harvest to be done. And look, we love the training. We love to teach the Bible. We want you to know the Bible. We want you to know the doctrine. We want, but not for you to do nothing with it. Go with me to 2 Timothy chapter number 2. 2 Timothy in your New Testament. If you can find there in towards the end of the New Testament, all those books that start with T, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy, and then Titus, they're all there together. Look at 2 Timothy chapter number 2. 2 Timothy chapter number 2, look at verse number 2. 2 Timothy chapter number 2, look at verse 2. The Bible says, and the thing that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. Look what he says. Who shall be able to teach others also. Now, what's the point of church? What's the point of learning these great stories, learning these great doctrines, understanding the issues of the King James Bible, eternal security, salvation, not by works, but through grace and faith in Jesus Christ? What's the point of knowing this? So you can go and teach someone else. So you can go and reap that harvest. So you can be a worker. Go back with me to Matthew chapter 19. You know what else, or chapter 20. You know what else is very interesting about this story that we could learn? About this parable that Jesus gave? Look at verse number 6. We're almost done, I promise. Look at Matthew chapter 20, verse 6. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle, and saying unto them, why stand ye here all the day idle? They say unto him, because no man hath hired us. He said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. You know, I don't know about you, but if I go out at 6 a.m. to look for work, and I know that the workday goes from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., I spent the last 11 hours at the market doing nothing. It's 5 p.m. I've pretty much given up on working for the day. Wouldn't you agree? I'm pretty much done. At that point, I'm just sitting there just kind of talking to people, just whatever. You're thinking to yourself, no one's going to hire me for 1 hour. And so often, you know, oftentimes I talk to people and they'll say to me, man, I'd like to be used of God. I'd like to get people saved. I'd like to preach the gospel, but I'm too old. I'm not young like you. I can't do it. And oftentimes people think they're in the 11th hour of their life. And I'm here to tell you, friend, even if it's the 11th hour of your life, if you just worked for God, He would pay you well. He'd reward you like He rewarded those who work 12 hours. You say, I can't do it. I'm too old. I've never done it before. I don't know what to say. It's been too long. I've wasted too much time. Look, you haven't wasted too much time. Because He hired people at 6 a.m., at 9 a.m., at noon, at 3 p.m. He even hired people at 5 p.m. He said, go work for 1 hour. You know why? Because He's got so much work. He just wants to put you to work. He just wants you to get to work. You say, I've wasted too much time. I've had too much sin. I've done too much wrong. I can't be used of God. We can all be used of God. I love this parable. It's never too late to get in. Even at the 11th hour, even at the 11th hour, God can use you. God has a plan for you. Let Jesus deal with the payment and the rewards. Don't make a deal. Don't agree with Jesus. Don't come to Jesus like Peter and say, what am I going to get out of it? You know, so often Christians will come to Jesus, and here's why so many Christians get out of the ministry, get out of their walk, get out of living for God. Here's why. They come to Jesus with a preconceived idea. Jesus, I will serve you if I can pay my bills, if my kids raise, grow up to be doctors and lawyers. I don't know why you want to do that. If, I win the lottery, if I always have a job, if I, whatever. And then you lose your job. And then you lose your house. And then maybe your baby dies. And then maybe a trial or a tribulation. Or maybe God asks you to leave your family. To leave your house. Maybe your family gets ruined. Maybe you find yourself alone. Maybe you find yourself deserted. Maybe you find yourself, your spouse left you. Your kids went off. Maybe you did something wrong. And we come to God and we say, that's not what I signed up for. And Jesus says, well, what did you sign up for? Because I didn't sign you up for anything. I just told you to get to work and I'll take care of the payment. You say, well, I've lost my baby. You're going to replace that? Look, the Bible says, Paul looked into heaven and he said, the things that I saw were so unspeakable, I can't even talk about them. You say, can Jesus replace a baby? Well, I think He can, and here's why. Because when you die, your baby's going to be in heaven. Plus all the blessings that God will give you for that. 100-fold. It will be worth it all. It's worth the fight. It's worth the battle. It's worth getting into the harvest. It's worth getting into the... getting in there. You say, well, I can't do it. You can do it. You say, well, how can I do it? Well, here's why I know you can do it. Because with men, it may be impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You, Lord, so much for Your Bible. Lord, and we understand that church is a place where we come. And sometimes we get our toes stepped on. Sometimes we get rebuked. Sometimes we get encouraged. But the purpose is to see us grow. And Lord, I pray You'd help all of us to just take that step. Say, you know what? I'm going to grow. You know what? I'm going to get in that fight. I'm going to get in that harvest. I'm going to work. I'm tired of being idle. Lord, we love You so much. In Your precious name, I pray. Amen.